You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
If you're the type of fan that gets giddy over prospects, then we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aaron Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here by myself for a quick second. We hosted a Spotify Green Room yesterday, and that will be the bulk of today's episode. We talked about Trevor Bauer, the new allegations, and what it means for the Dodgers. We talked about All-Star voting, Home Run Derby, and a few other things. So let's get right into it. Here's the Spotify Green Room.
I guess first we should maybe give a little disclaimer for people listening to this on the podcast on Thursday. We are aware that the audio quality maybe isn't quite as high as you're used to on the podcast, just because for a few different reasons, right at this point, we can't use our podcast quality microphones to do these Spotify Green Rooms yet. Hopefully by next week when we do it, we will be able to. But hopefully the audio quality is good enough that people will still enjoy listening to it. And stuff to talk about, Vince.
Are we going to address the elephant in the room real quick?
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but we had more details come out today.
Yeah, and for me, it's like, I think the reason we need to talk about it is because it's pretty clear to me that the Dodgers are going to have to, just from an on-field perspective, I don't think we need to say out loud, but I guess I will anyway, that the assault against women or against anybody, but especially against women, is despicable. And if Trevor Bauer is guilty of what he's being accused of, I hope he never wears a Dodger uniform again. It's hard to separate the baseball from the thing, but so that's what I want to start by saying, making it very clear that outside of baseball, I have zero respect for anybody who would do that, and I hope that if he's guilty of what he's being accused of, I hope that they throw the book at him, and I hope that not just never playing for the Dodgers again, I hope that he spends some time in a place where people who do that sort of thing belong to be. I don't know if you have anything to add to that side of things before we talk about the baseball impact.
No, I mean, there's obviously a long conversation that's not necessarily for a baseball podcast, but yeah, just, doubling down on what you said. And regardless of, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of banter going on social media. But, the fact of the matter is the details that emerged, that came out in the report, are bad. Whether they are 100% true has yet to be determined. But if it even is partly true, it's enough for him to, be in jail, be obviously out of baseball for however long, if anyone would want to bring him back after that and anything else. So, the details are bad. And if any part of it is true, it doesn't look like Trevor Bauer will be on the Dodgers or in baseball for a little bit.
Yeah. And so from a baseball standpoint, that's why we kind of need to talk about it, because it looks like the Dodgers are going to need a replacement starter. And that's why I did mention the real life implications, so that it doesn't sound like we're being insensitive to talk about, okay, what does this mean for the Dodgers? But this is a Dodgers podcast, and so that's kind of what we are qualified to talk about. And so, they are going to need somebody to replace Trevor Bauer probably and hopefully as soon as his next start, because I assume that any minute now, maybe even by the time this goes live as a podcast tomorrow morning, MLB will have put him on administrative leave and the Dodgers will officially need somebody to start that, you know, third game in Washington, D.C., or whichever game it is. And for me, basically there's only two real options. There's either to try to stretch David Price back out to be a starter. That would be obviously more of a long-term thing, because right now I think maybe they could try to get him for three innings going, but basically we'd be back to bullpen games while he gets stretched back out. Or somebody, I guess there's three options, somebody from the minors or somebody from outside the organization. And I don't know, you know, Johnny just in the chat said David Price or Jimmy Nelson could get hurt trying to stretch out like that. And that's a real concern. That, like, it's enough of a concern for me with Jimmy Nelson that I'm not interested at all in Nelson, because he's so valuable as a reliever. I don't want him even in the consideration to be stretched out. David Price, part of his value as a reliever is as an innings eater. And so if he could do that same value as a guy who pitches five innings every fifth day, I'd be okay with that. But I don't know, Vince, what do you think is the most likely scenario?
Yeah, I mean, short term, you would imagine that it would be someone from the minors, although they don't necessarily have anyone. I mean, Andre Jackson's on the 40-man roster. That would be the easiest way. Is the guy they claim today, I'm assuming he's a reliever, that wall guy?
Yeah, he's a reliever, and he has been really bad every time he's been in the majors. So seems like he's a project more than a ready for the big leagues right now kind of guy.
Yeah, and it's also a matter of, you know, Tony Gonsolin's still not fully stretched out because of his shoulder. So he's going for maybe five innings. I think he's yet to go five innings so far this year, but could maybe stretch out in the next couple of weeks. So it's a matter of innings. Now they need to fill innings, and it's a matter of, you know, not taxing your bullpen. And then you have to focus on the other guys going deep into games, kind of like when they were running a bullpen game every fifth game. So, you know, I'm not sure if they have any, I'm sure they have contact for like an immediate add to the roster. But I think maybe they'll try to go through a bullpen game and, you know, bring up Mitch Wider, you said again, and kind of eat some innings that way and hope their offense can put up runs. I think that's the short-term solution. But I mean, we already talked about them needing a long-term solution for a starting pitcher just to eat innings. And now this would solidify that even more.
Yeah, and you know, with, like you said, Gonsolin not being stretched out, Julio being questionable about, you know, we've talked about how maybe they need to skip a start or two for him going forward just to make sure he doesn't get overused this year. Yeah, it's hard for me to see them going with the bullpen game route, knowing that, because, like, basically then you're running the risk of having two bullpen games every 5 days. And then you're really putting a lot of pressure on Kershaw and Buehler and Julio to go deep into games when they start. And all three of them are capable of that, but I don't think you want to count on that every time. Otherwise you run the risk of wearing them out too. And so it seems to me like, you know, Joe asked about, what about Ryan Pepiot? You know, he would be an option. He's not on the 40-man roster right now, which is just one hurdle. Making room for him on the 40-man roster would probably mean, although I guess Bauer won't be on the 40-man roster when he's on administrative leave. So I'm pretty sure that's how that works. So as soon as Bauer is suspended or put on leave, I guess they could add Pepiot to the 40-man roster, but you know, he hasn't even pitched in AAA yet. Right. I think he's in AA, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in AA.
Yeah. And so, you know, he might be a possibility. It doesn't seem like the most likely one. I think they have too many high hopes for Pepiot's future to throw him into the big leagues, throw him to the Wolves right now at this point in his development. So it seems like they got to go outside the organization.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, when you can just order the parts on your computer with rockauto.com at home and in your pocket? Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, just $216 from Rock Auto. And Rock Auto is a family business that's been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer. It doesn't matter if you are a mechanic or a, you know, regular Joe Schmo. Everything they have is there and at the same price for everyone. So go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Whether that is, you know, trading for a guy who is just an innings eater or trying to make a big splash, that's more the big question. You know, obviously, with Max Scherzer, you know, he's always been my number one target, but the Nationals are kind of still in that NL East race. Maybe the Dodgers could beat them so badly this weekend that they decide that they're out of it. I don't know. But, you know, sure, there's a possibility. Herman Marquez is probably somebody who the Rockies are at least going to listen to offers on. But the Rockies refused to even consider trading Nolan Arenado in the division, and they still have the same owner that they did last winter. So it's hard to see Marquez getting traded to the Dodgers. So I don't know if right now they can make that big splash. And so it might just be trading for a guy who isn't very good, but you can count on to throw five or six innings.
Yeah. And there was a question about Josiah Gray as well. He had been recovering from a shoulder impingement. He had thrown simulated games, but he would not be stretched out. And I don't think they'd want his first start to be in the majors going three or four innings. So he'd be out for at least a couple months. So, you know, maybe they could tread water until and think they can get him to get some innings, but who knows? In terms of, yeah, I mean, the Nationals were in fourth or fifth place and they've started, they're like 12-3 in their last 15 or something like that. They're in second place now. So there might be buyers rather than sellers, depending on how these next few weeks go. The one I was going to bring up the other day, and he's struggling really bad, but he is a guy that can, you know, eat some innings. Kenta Maeda, the Twins are really bad. They probably will end up selling, and he's a guy, you know, I'm not sure if he will. The Dodgers, if they do, would bring him back. It would be, you know, he might not be guaranteed to be a starter in the postseason, which was the reason he left the first time. But he's a guy who's on a cheap contract. The Twins, no, might want to get rid of him. I'm not sure. And he's being really bad, but he's a guy that even if he's bad, he can go five or six innings. It might, you know, he might need your offense to score like 10 runs that game. But at this point, it's more about saving everyone else's arms every fifth day rather than, you know, not trying to win every fifth day, but, you know, you got to get the five, six innings. That's maybe more important in the long run if they continue to win all the other games.
Yeah, the fan base would be thrilled to see Maeda back. I don't know that Maeda would be as thrilled because, I mean, the reason he's on the Twins is because he told the Dodgers, I'd like to be traded to somebody who's going to let me start. And maybe coming back because they're desperate for a starter would be enough for him. But like you said, it's not like he would be really even a possibility to be in the starting rotation in the postseason probably. And so who knows, but yeah, you know, but somebody like that, whether it's Maeda, but even just somebody where you're not necessarily punting every fifth day, but, you know, a traditional fifth starter. Most teams, their fifth starter is a guy who they don't go into that game expecting to win. They go in hoping he can give them five or six innings and then get to their number one starter the next day. You know, that's how most teams work. The Dodgers have really spoiled us the last several years of, hey, you know what, instead of 1 through 5 starters, let's go ahead and have, you know, 2 number 1s and 3 number 2s, you know, or maybe a number 3 mixed in there. But Dodgers haven't had a fifth starter since, you know, it's been probably 5 years since they've had a legitimate, this guy is the quality of a fifth starter. And that coincides with around the time that they started, you know, expecting to go to the World Series every year. And so it's I don't think it's a long-term solution, but it might be the best they can do right now just to get somebody, because I really don't think bullpen day is the answer when, you know, if Gonsolin, if we knew we could count on Gonsolin for six innings. So if all four of the other starters were guys who you expect six innings at least every game, then you could do the bullpen thing with David Price as the anchor trying to go three or four. But with Gonson still being questionable, it just doesn't seem like that timing can be right now.
Yeah, like I said, it would be more of a maybe one to two star solution rather than anything longer than that. And maybe it's just a matter of them getting to the All-Star break and then figuring it out. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens, obviously, with Bauer and then with everyone else. But you would think that this is the route that's going to happen in the next day or so.
Yeah. And again, it feels silly for anybody who just hopped in. It feels silly to be talking about the baseball implications of the fact that Trevor Bauer might be a monster. And so, you know, we just rest assured that we recognize that baseball is secondary in the grand scheme of things, but it is the part that we are experts in talking about. So that's why we're talking about the baseball implications and hopefully not giving off any sort of impression of minimizing the real important stuff involved in this particular story.
Yeah.
What better news can we talk about? That sucks. Today has sucked on Dodgers Twitter. You know,
yeah.
It's like everything. You know, Trevor Bauer is polarizing anyway, and this, it seems like Twitter is just always looking for a reason to hate each other. And for me, it's like, you know what? This ought to be one time when we can all just kind of come together and say, that sucks, instead of finding more reasons to hate each other. What's up, Giovanni? Good to see you. Giovanni was in with me last weekend when I did the one that was the secret hidden Spotify green room that didn't go on as a podcast. So we had some good talks then. It was either Giovanni or the other guy who was in here with me who suggested maybe Aaron Nola as a pickup. I don't know if that's a possibility. How you doing, Giovanni?
Snydog, I'm doing good. Just got home from work and saw you guys had a chat going on, so I decided to hop in real quick. How you guys doing today?
We're good. We just got done talking about all the crap that sucks about Trevor Bauer right now, so now we're trying to think of something happier to talk about. You got any happy Dodger topics we could talk about?
Man, how about our boy Max Muncy, the new giant killer nowadays? Woo! He's on fire right now.
Yeah, Vince, what was the response? You mentioned that the crowd overall wasn't as fired up, it seemed like, last night, but that Muncy homer probably fired people up since most of those people were there for the Muncy.
Yeah, the Muncy was big. You know, he came up, walked the first time, came up, hit the big home run second time, and, you know, it was the thing for me. Muncy came up and he had a new song, he had a new song to him, not a new song in general, which is more of a throwback song when I was, like, in high school or so. That was big for me, and that got the crowd a little fired up, I would imagine. And then, yeah, the big home run. Everyone had the bobbleheads. And the one, maybe not a weird thing, but on this series, there wasn't a lot of Giants fans like there are usually. I know it was a short two-game series. Maybe people don't want to make a trip for that, but it was a lot less Giants fans than I ever remember at a Dodger-Giants game in L.A.
You know, I noticed the same thing last week at the game that you and I were at together, that with Cubs fans. Normally, I see more Cubs fans, and I didn't see – like, I saw some, but I didn't see a ton of Cubs fans at that game either. And I don't know if it's just because Dodger fans are buying up the tickets. You know, there's so much demand among Dodger fans that, you know, the opposing team's fans aren't able to get the tickets or aren't as interested in it because they know they're going to be – severely outnumbered or whatever. But yeah, that is interesting because usually you can count on some of those teams, the Giants and the Cubs and, you know, a few other teams having pretty strong contingents at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, definitely.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Let's take a quick look at Bet Online's matchup for tonight. Dodgers, Nationals, Tony Gonsolin, Patrick Corbin. The Dodgers are actually favorites at -134, which means you'd have to put down $134 in order to win $100. The Nationals are at +124, which means if you put down $100, you'd cash out $224 total dollars. The Dodgers are 1.5 run favorites, and then the over-under sit at 9.5. I will not give any picks today. I'm just letting you know what it is and the type of stuff you can find at Bet Online. But it's not just baseball. They got all the other sports. They got live betting. They got a casino, a racebook, poker, esports. They always got contests and promotions running. BetOnline has everything you need for betting. And you should go check it out on your laptop or mobile device and see what they got. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game. Head to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's BetOnline, promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Joe dropped a good question about Will Smith making the All-Stars. We probably should talk about the All-Stars a little bit. The All-Star starters are being announced on Thursday. The way it's looking, Justin Turner is the closest to a spot. I'm not sure. Justin Turner and then Mookie were the closest to a spot. I don't remember what the numbers were earlier, but Max Muncy had fallen off after day one. I'm not sure if he's up there after day two, which kind of sucks since he won the initial vote. The Dodgers have so many candidates for All-Stars. Joe asked about Will Smith specifically, and I think just based on how many other All-Stars the Dodgers may have compared with, you know, every team needs to have one representative, I think he might get pushed out for that reason.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because, you know, Muncy's going to make the team for sure. Yeah. And Taylor's going to make the team for sure. That's my two for sures. Mookie, it's kind of interesting because, you know, we talked in the past about how even though he's having a down year right now by his standards, he's also still one of the best outfielders in the National League, statistically speaking. And it's almost like he's a victim of his own previous success that, like, you know, if Mookie was a rookie right now and having this season, we'd be like, oh, this guy's really promising. But because he's a former MVP who's been, you know, literally the best player in baseball at times, and when he's not, he's one of the top five, you know, it's a down year for him. And so I think that's going to hurt him. So if he doesn't end up winning a starting spot, I don't see him making it as one of the reserves. And I kind of feel the same way about Justin Turner. As good as he's been, you know, I don't know that there's going to be space for him on the team. I don't think he's been so good that you can't justify not putting him on. And then when it does come down where every team has to have a representative, you know, so Turner and Smith and Betts maybe all get edged out because of that, because they don't have undeniable cases.
Yeah, and Smith's interesting because, you know, the guys ahead, or one of the guys at least ahead of them that made it into the final three voting is Yadier Molina. And, you know, I don't know if I believe we have similar thoughts on him. You know, he's a good player, not as good anymore, definitely not deserving of an All-Star spot. I know it's more of a popularity on his end. So, you know, that I don't see, he's one of those two where if he doesn't win the vote, you know, I don't see him making the All-Star game. The Cardinals have other candidates that are more viable. So, you know, maybe Smith does get in. I don't even know who else is a good catcher this year. I haven't really paid attention to other teams. But I would imagine, you know, Smith's one of the best ones. Contreras does deserve it. Even Contreras is not as good as Smith. He might have more home runs than him, but his OPS is way lower. So Smith might be one that, you know, he's probably deserving. He's definitely a top three catcher in the NL for sure. And that's not even, you know, looking directly at hard numbers. So he could make it, I guess. If Mookie doesn't get in, and then there's, you know, they're not going to stack. Like, I don't think David Roberts is going to stack the team with like 10 guys, but it would kind of suck if, like, you know, he has to come down to like Muncy, Taylor and Smith, and he might have to leave one of them off, or because it's player votes or just manager for those final.
No, spots? And it's not. It used to just be up to the manager. The manager picked the reserves, and it's not nearly like Dave Roberts still has some say. I don't know exactly how they do it these days, but yeah, I know the players are involved. That there's other considerations. I assume they're going to do the final ballot again, like they do sometimes, and maybe the Dodgers get somebody in that way. I could see Mookie being in that just because, you know, he's a big name and whatever. But yeah, you know, Will Smith, I don't know. You know, obviously Buster Posey's going to be the starter and deserves to be the starter. But, you know, JT Realmuto, I don't think is having a great season. And, you know, a lot of these usual suspects, Realmuto and Molina and those guys are not necessarily lighting the world up. Contreras has defensive value, obviously, in addition to his hitting. So, and same with Molina. But yeah, it's a, I don't know. Will Smith, I know he's going to make a lot of all-star teams. I just don't know if the first one is going to happen this year.
Yeah. Just all-star voting in general, like the LA fan base. You know, we saw him rally behind Justin Turner that one year and set some records in voting. But in general, you know, the Dodgers don't, the way the fan base is and the way, you know, how many people, and you know, based on social media, how many followers they have compared to other teams, it would seem that they should have, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys every year in the top three, now that they do this top three thing, but they don't really do that. I know they got a few guys in there more than some other teams, but I don't know. I don't know if the Dodger fan base will ever get that fired up for voting in like the original sense, or like the first ballots and second ballots, and maybe, you know, even the final vote, was it Muncy in 2019? They ended up losing, but it was just a matter of, I'm not sure if the Dodgers ever get that fired up about all-star voting.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because the Dodgers, of the last few years at least, have been built more around, not that they haven't had any superstars, obviously, you know, Cody Bellinger won an MVP award. You know, they've had some superstars, but also part of their team building strategy is just have good players at every position. And so, you know, you've got Justin Turner, who, you know, there's 27 teams in Major League Baseball that would probably trade their starting third baseman for Justin Turner, maybe not 27, 25, but he's not the best third baseman in baseball, you know? And, you know, you could say the same for, you know, just Chris Taylor, for example, is a guy who isn't going to inspire a lot of people to be excited about voting for him, even though he probably deserves to be in. And then other guys do, you know, Cody Bellinger isn't, he has the talent, but obviously with the injuries and everything, hasn't done it. So the Dodgers, I think it's legitimate that they, if you're talking about the all-stars, the guys having the best seasons, you know, the Dodgers, if you have 9 guys with a 120 OPS plus or WRC plus or whatever plus stat you want to use, you're going to be a really good team, but not many of those guys are going to make the all-star team because there's always somebody at each position who's got a 140, you know?
Yeah. And then, I don't know if you saw this, Dave Martinez, they kind of asked him about not being able to coach all-star game because of what happened last year. There was no all-star game. As of the other day, Roberts hadn't asked him to be on his staff. And it didn't, I don't think he was mad, like, per se. He was definitely a little bothered. You know, I don't know if you had any thoughts on that because was just an interesting situation, obviously.
Yeah, I didn't read the article. One of the things I saw about it said that seemed to imply that Martinez wanted him and his coaching staff to be involved. And, you know, I feel like that's just one of those casualties of COVID, dude. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, yeah, things suck. COVID ruined a lot of things. One of the things it ruined was your chance to manage the All-Star game, whatever. He's been on the coaching staff before, so I don't know that it's that big a deal. You know,
what I remember that he mentioned is that, like, he wanted it more for his staff than him, but it was also implied that, you know, he kind of wanted his whole staff to be invited.
Yeah, and that just doesn't seem realistic to me because, you know, how many coaches can you have? And, you know, the Dodgers won the World Series last year. Their coaching staff deserves to be involved, you know, and so it's like, I just don't think the coaching staff is realistic. I do wonder if Dave Martinez reached out to Dave Roberts. I assume they have each other's numbers. If he reached out to him saying, hey, I'd like to be involved. Because if he did, I can't imagine Roberts saying no. You know, like no. Dave Roberts seems like that's the sort of thing. I assume, you know, he didn't even think of it. I hadn't thought of it until I saw the story. It's just like, yeah, the world was weird. A lot of things got ruined. You know, we were supposed to host the All-Star game last year that you were supposed to manage in. It just didn't happen. And so, you know, I assume if Roberts had been aware that it meant a lot to Dave Martinez, that he would have done something about it. And so maybe now that he is aware, you know, I guess you could say it shouldn't have had to be an article that made him aware of it, but you know, yeah, maybe he adds him to the coaching staff. I don't know. It's hard for me, having never been a major league manager, it's hard for me to really know why that would be such a big deal to be on an all-star coaching staff. It's not like they even track that stuff. It's not going on your Hall of Fame plaque, you know, was an assistant coach in 13 All-Star games. Like, who cares, yeah. You know?
And Johnny mentioned, I figure they want the week off. That's what I would want, too. I wouldn't want to be, you know, no offense. Maybe the first time, yeah, but after that, I wouldn't want to be there anymore. Like, give me the week off. Let me go be somewhere by a beach and just hang out and relax.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's – but, you know, there's a reason these guys are in the jobs they are and the rest of us are in the jobs we are because maybe we think differently than they do.
Yeah, definitely. One more thing I did have that's kind of relevant to all this. Max Muncy mentioned that he wouldn't do the Home Run Derby if he wasn't in the All-Star game. You would imagine it's a formality. He's going to be in the All-Star game. We don't expect him not to be. Do you want him to do the Home Run Derby? You know, he's dealt with small little injuries here and there. He did mention that fact, but it seemed like he might be open to it if he was an All-Star.
Yeah, in general, I am in favor of Dodgers doing the Home Run Derby because I don't really believe all the stuff about, you know, the Home Run Derby jinx and stuff. Yeah, because for every guy you point to who was in the Home Run Derby and then had a bad second half, you can also point to guys who were in the Home Run Derby and had great second halves. And the fact is, a lot of the time, the reason guys who are in the Home Run Derby have bad second halves is because they made the Home Run Derby because they were playing over their heads the first half of the season. You know, a few years ago, Adam Duvall was in the Home Run Derby, and then he sucked in the second half. Well, you know what? The reason that happened is because Adam Duvall kind of sucked to start with, you know? He just hit a lot of home runs in the first half. And so overall, I don't mind guys being in it. I don't really believe in those things. But for the specific case of Max Muncy, I don't want him to do it this year because of the oblique. You know, a guy who is coming off an oblique injury, even if he's totally healthy and everything, you know, the going out there and swinging as hard as you can, trying to hit home runs, I want Max Muncy swinging hard, but I want it to be in at-bats that matter. I don't care about the Home Run Derby enough to risk Max Muncy aggravating an oblique. If it was just his ankle, I'd be fine with it because I don't think hitting home runs for a half hour is going to aggravate his ankle that much, but it actually legitimately could aggravate the oblique injury. So for that reason and that reason only, I absolutely don't want Muncy doing the Home Run Derby, whether he's on the All-Star team or not.
Yeah, and I agree there. I you know, 100% healthy, yeah, I want Muncy in there. We remember, you know, him the last time he was in it, this time at Coors. You would imagine he would just be hitting some big time bombs out there for entertainment value. I'd want it, but for Dodgers' sake and just the way this season's been so far, let's just leave Muncy over here on the side. And I'm not really sure. You know, there's four spots already down in the Home Run Derby. Two that are, I guess, one that's exciting. The others are, and one's a feel good story of Mancini. One's a repeat with Alonso, and then Trevor Story's the hometown guy. So I'm very interested to see if they're going to get any more star power in this Home Run Derby. Vladdy already said no. Fernando said no. And, they still need to fill out four more spots.
Joe Holt. What's up, Joe?
So no Seager till after the All-Star game, apparently.
Yeah. So they transferred Seager to the 60-day injured list to claim that wall guy from the Brewers. It was probably just a formality anyway, I think, based on what Dave Roberts had said earlier in the week. It sounded like we were probably thinking post All-Star break anyway. Now it's just official that he's not eligible until, you know, roughly the end of the All-Star break. Kind of a bummer, but, you know, it's hard to tell. Like, you know, when he first got hurt, I mentioned my son had just had the same exact injury and, you know, the timeline and everything. And it seemed like they were on the same timeline. My son has been out of his cast for a couple weeks now and has been playing baseball and everything, obviously not the same level that Corey Seager does. And, so I don't know if it was an actual setback or if they're just being extremely cautious with him to make sure that he's totally healthy when he does come back. But with the All-Star break this close, I think it didn't make much sense to try to rush him back before then anyway, because, you know, if you can get that extra 4 days off without it hurting the team, you might as well do that. I don't know, Vince, do you think? Were you surprised by that?
No, I mean, the timeline that they had and the timeline that he was on was a little, you know, fat. Not like crazy fast, but it was faster than probably we initially expected. And I initially expected him out at least 2 months. So that's where they're at now with the 60-day IL. So I'm not surprised at all. I thought he was coming back a little faster than normal anyway. So I'm fine with that. The other guy that we probably should talk about real quick is Kyle Alexander, who Dave Roberts said might return this weekend. He's going to pitch back-to-back days with OKC and then should be activated after that. So just another one. You know, they still have, I guess, Clevinger would be the guy if Alexander comes back. I don't think they have any other of those 4A relievers right now. So interesting to see how he is. You know, we talked about left-handed relievers the other day, and he's definitely going to get a chance to show what he can do and see if the Dodgers need to get a better reliever in general, maybe not just specifically left-handed, or if they'll be able to at least be fine with what they have and upgrade if they see a good trade out there.
Yeah, Alexander has been really, really good at times when he can command his pitches. He's got that heavy sinker. It's hard to hit. It's hard to hit hard. It's hard to hit in the air. So, you know, if he can command it, he could definitely be an improvement to the bullpen, but he's been so inconsistent, it's really anybody's guess how good he'll be.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to download Spotify Green Room and join us next time. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers if you haven't already done so. Tell your friends and family about us. Spread the word, the good word, by word of mouth. Let people know there's a Dodgers podcast every Monday through Friday that's just for them. And yeah, help us out. We are on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625 or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!